Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
Make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure if I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Feebles.
Of course you didn't. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Internet. One of those covers of the video store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep. What in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
Never give up. Never surrender. You have found What Am I Watching? Which is often what my consciousness is like. No, never give up. Never surrender. No matter what time it is, what time you're watching TV, what time you're watching movies, you often will ask yourself, what am I watching? And we're glad that you ask yourself while listening to us ask the same question. Joining you and hosting you and guiding you through this journey through the galaxy will be myself, Dave the Clone. And joining me as mostly always on the show are Gomez, not Adams.
Hello!
And from the Fangirl Zone, Sean Fangirl-S.
Hello.
And if you haven't guessed by now, by Grapthor's hammer, you shall be avenged, and we will be watching Galaxy Quest. What year is this? Oh, my God. Of course when I need
1999.
We gonna party like it's 1999 up in here, folks, at Galaxy Convention 18.
All right, can I address that opening scene?
Absolutely.
I was gonna say, there's this movie, rewatching it for this, I was like, wow, there's a special place in all of our hearts for this culture. Like, holy shit, we've been living this for the last couple of years, guys. This is it right here, Galaxy Con.
All right, that was a little over the top in regards to how people are acting at conventions.
I don't know about that.
I've been to the biggest geek mecca in the country, San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And we have incredibly into it people there. But, I mean, this is like a whole nother level. I think they took every con and, like, dialed it up by, like, 100.
Well, yeah. I also feel like this also might have been a time before I think now San Diego is so mainstream, like even going to Comic-Cons at all is mainstream. I mean, hell, there are super hot chicks, I guess, and guys too. Not that I'm looking at it from that perspective, but there are super hot chicks who go to these conventions, so it's somehow now okay and cool. But at the time that this movie was portraying them, I don't think so much.
I still take issue with that.
Well, like I said, now anyway, moving right along. Yes, convention life, it's got its own, you know, flavor to it. You're either there or not. But yes, I think this was a time before conventions were as mainstream and okay as they are. And I love how they totally make it like this is the ass end of your career when you're on TV. Like, if you're on just the convention circuit, see, that's a different thing, too. We know for sure that is so not the case anymore, but this time.
This is before the comeback.
Yeah, right? Before it was all run by the Illuminati. This was like the only, there's like, you know, clearly only one of the actors on this show is like happy about showing up at these things, and it's because he's the one that all the fans are completely adoring. And, you know, I mean, come on, do we have to say the analog here is Star Trek? Like, this is a total,
I think that's a given.
Total reaction to Star Trek. But I don't know, what are some first impressions? Give me some of your first reactions. When did you guys first see this movie?
I seen it back when it came out, which seems like forever ago. I didn't even realize it was 99. God.
In the theaters? You saw it in the theaters?
Yeah.
Ooh, lucky I did not see it in the theaters.
I think this was a cable for me.
Yeah, me too. It was like catch part of it on cable and then rent it the next day. And then like an asshole, as soon as you finish watching the rented one, it's on. You know what I mean? Like you stop the DVD or you stop the tape and it's on the channel you happened to be watching before you started everything off.
Exactly. I mean, I think what's great for me about this is they got the actors they got to be in this.
True. It's we should mention away.
This is the tribute to Alan Rickman.
Yes. This is part one of however many there will be over the course of the next year.
Exactly.
Just like anything we do about Bowie is part of the Bowie tribute, this is now part of the Rickman tribute.
But for a parody film, they didn't go with sort of the no-name, lesser-known actor. These aren't the B-list actors, as far as
that's I'm true.
Concerned. Yeah, even for the time, this was...
Tim Allen was a big actor, especially in 99.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story 2 had been out by now, or is it just still Toy Story 1 territory? Shit. See, this is the research I never think of before we do the shows. I'm always like, oh, that'll never come up. Yep, it's here. Here we go. It came up right now.
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, boobs Sigourney Weaver. My God. I forgot all about that until at the end when she's running around and her shirt is just like wide open and I'm like, oh God. Yeah, this is when I started to think Sigourney Weaver was hot, like the second iteration of hot Weaver.
As opposed to, you know, just an alien.
Yeah. That's how, you know, we saw pubes. That's all I have to say. We saw pubes. Or maybe only I saw pubes. Okay, moving right along. I've got very, very
paying attention to
laser focus eye thing going on there, I guess. I'm the only one that happened to.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys, though. Do you think Sigourney Weaver was in this, like you said, it was parody-esque anyway, like to show how she felt about cons at the time? Because I'm sure she was hitting some, because I haven't seen her at any con, like, ever.
I have no idea. for all I know, it was a paycheck.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I didn't realize that there were a lot of these, like, projects that actors take to make a stand about something. Like, I mean, if it was, I don't think the movie would be Galaxy Quest, and I don't think the thing would be, I'm taking a stand against con culture.
Especially since this was pre-Harry Potter for Rickman.
Yes, true.
Yes, that's true.
And it's like, I think at the time, wasn't it really that mostly before Comic-Con was to the level it was, like the only thing that rivaled comic conventions were Star Trek conventions? Because it used to be like comic conventions literally were just comic books. Like there wasn't as much movie, TV, alternate media involvement as there is now. Now it's like fucking Disney World. You know what I mean? Now you show up and there's like, hey, lay down on the carpet, we'll take your picture and we'll put you into the animated GIF of what the hell show was that? The murder scenes show or some shit?
Oh,
some shit that I don't even remember, obviously.
Spotless.
There you go.
Okay.
Did it last? I mean, is it even still around? Who fucking knows? Who cares? It's not even the movie that we're talking about. But I'm just saying, conventions are totally at a other level these days than they were, you know, at this, you know?
That's true. I get it. And I get how some of the actors, how they were portraying them, you know, didn't want to go, but it was like part of their contract. They had to go.
Yeah. And the only one who wants to show up is the one who like loves the attention, you know? And I mean, but even that only went to a certain degree. You know what I mean? Like when I love the whole aspect of like just by virtue of leaving out a few words or letting people go on assumptions, this whole comedy of errors ensues here of like, these real aliens that approach him at the convention, and he's like, oh, hey, yeah, you guys look great, great costumes. Holy shit, that's amazing. And they're like, we need your help, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right, tomorrow, 11 a.m., yep, no problem, got the gig, I'll see. Like, he immediately assumes it's like, oh, it's a commercial, or it's fucking opening of a store or some shit.
Because he's probably gotten a lot of those.
Yeah, and he's the only one who's just like, fuck it, man, I'm paying for my house in Malibu, who cares?
Exactly. And
everyone else is just like, oh, kill me. By grab Thor's hammer,
and then we have the very young Justin Long.
Oh yes, my.
Was this his first thing ever? Was this like his first appearance?
It might as well have been.
Yeah, if it wasn't, we're gonna go ahead and call it his first.
I'm watching this going, Were any of us ever that young? Okay.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Watching all these things, like we're watching one of the shows that the network is covering right now is the American crime drama and or crime story. And it's the nostalgia of the 90s is like so palpable that it's like part of the experience of watching that show. And I think sometimes some of these movies that we wind up watching for this podcast have that same effect. Like I can't help watching this movie remembering what the world was like at the time, you know, and like immediately being transported back. Exactly. All this to buy time to, like, you know, IMDb Justin Long here, and I didn't even do that because I was so concentrated on bullshitting. clearly my multitasking is not what it used to be. Good Lord. All right, Justin Long, what was your first thing? Ah, Brandon in Galaxy Quest in 1999. That's
there
his first
go.
Thing. And then it was like the following year, well, 2 years later in 2001, that I think Jeepers Creepers is really his, like, you know, jump out of the woodwork, and everybody kind of remembers him after that. But yeah, I was always like, oh, he's the
computer
kid.
Commercials.
He's the kid from Galaxy Quest.
He was Mac.
Yeah, but he did a whole bunch of movies before that. That was like in the early 2000s, right? The
really?
It was like the 2005 area of time when the Mac
Mac
PCs, you know, he was already on the Ed TV series and Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story. That's another good one.
Well, that I remember.
Hey man, sweet dude. I love that movie. Should do that one. Should do Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story. But then you see Justin Long in things like Zack and Miri Make a Porno, and he's like the total full-on gay porn star.
He can act, okay?
Shut your filthy mouth before I come in it, or whatever the hell his movie is called. He's like, yeah, it's a movie like that. Anyway, complete opposite of Galaxy Quest.
Oh my god!
So we have Tim Allen as sort of the William Shatner esque.
Yeah,
captain.
I was like trying to avoid saying it for some reason. I feel like maybe William Shatner won't hate me if I'm not the one to actually come out and say what it is.
I'll come out and say it because here he was like. Because he was playing up the convention circuit and acting as if he was the only one that people were there to see.
Yeah, and he kind of was to a degree, except for the other guy with the head. And then he was just so tired, you know, Alan Rickman, obviously. What the hell is the other guy with the head? What was Alan Rickman's character's name? What was the character? I know, like, Mokhtar was his
the doctor.
The Mokhtar stealth haze there.
Oh my gosh, now I have to fire up the Google machine.
Yeah, the Google machine's all suddenly getting a huge spike. There was a huge spike in the Google machine right as the Hollow 9 Network started recording tonight.
Because they don't take notes.
And they don't prepare before.
Don't research.
They don't do shit before they get on the air. They're just like, fuck it, this is what the fans want to hear. They want to hear us.
Let's see if they can beat us to it.
Normal people.
Okay, so the problem is his character name was Alexander Dane, but that's not his character's character name.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
Yep, it gets very good.
Oh my god, it's like Inception.
Is that what it says on IMDb? What a pile of crap that is. His name is this, but yeah, Alexander Dane. Fuck you. Come on, let's click on that.
Oh my god, we're not going to get the character.
Alexander Dane was a stage actor famous for his portrayal of Richard III.
With five curtain calls, don't forget that.
He then took the job playing Dr. Lazarus on the 80s TV That's show right. Galaxy Quest.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like Inception, because this entry is as if Alexander Dane is a real person. Good Lord, what are we Googling on what am I watching? Internet, what the flying fuck are you trying to do to us? Like, how dare you have this shit be real? It's almost like, how can an entire race of aliens actually create the real technology based on watching historical documents?
We took your film and we made it real.
We watched your historical documents. Oh, what is that guy's name? That guy is... He should have gotten an award for playing the head alien in this. Balthazar?
Balthazar.
Oh,
Enrico Colantoni?
Oh,
he's
yes.
He's been in, like, a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he is in, like, everything.
But can I say, just because this happens to be you know, a weekend in which a huge movie came out. Somebody who is in Galaxy Quest is also in Deadpool.
No shit.
Yes, the alien who played Teb.
On
the actor Teb. Jed Reese.
Who did he play in, what's he called?
Agent Smith.
He was in Deadpool, or is that what?
Yeah, in Deadpool. Because he didn't really know his name, he just made up the name for him.
On Teb. On. Oh my god. I may be talking like Malthazar a lot. Now that I think about it.
And then somebody killed Dave, and we don't know why.
It's so easy to just fall into it. I mean, that was one of the things that actually made this movie stand out, because I remember at the time that we saw it, we were just like, yo, the aliens are hilarious. Because they just, like, make weird, like, squeaks and noises, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that means he's fine to go with you down to the thing.
Well, when they walked, it was almost like they were using their hands to lift their knees.
Yeah, because they're in their real form. They're like these octopod, you know, like, what do you call things with a bunch of arms like that? Octopods? Is that what they are?
The tentacle creatures.
Yes. There you go. That works.
That's so much easier saying it that way.
Definitely. It is.
Oh my god. And I loved Missy Pyle as Laliari, or eventually she becomes Jane Doe. She's in so many things as well.
She's been in ton. She is reaching, I think, Parker Posey level.
There you go. Nice. Oh. Good call. Parker Posey level. We give you one Parker Posey and two Joe Pesci's before you finally get nominated for something. But you're okay. You're doing well. And, just this whole concept of, like, if you just don't give a fuck enough, or if you only take it how you want to. Like, the fact that he gets pulled in, so the aliens come to this convention to try to, like, find this historic Commander Taggart, because they've seen broadcasts of the TV show Galaxy Quest.
And they come from a completely pacifist culture.
Yeah, and they think that they don't understand the concept of entertainment, you know, or drama. They think this is real historical documentation, like all the exploits of the Protector class Star Cruiser and Commander Taggart. Are real to these people. So they've also somehow, just by watching, this would be like a whole alien species designing their world after watching Star Trek, and they show up with like the NCC, you know, USS Enterprise. We're like, what? Are you fucking serious? They're like, yep, we found the dilithium crystals. We got this shit going. Warp 9 works for us. We got the torpedoes.
Give us Picard.
And we're like, fuck, Patrick Stewart, you gotta go, bro. Some shit's going down. Don't be like Tim Allen, man. Don't act like it's some bullshit. Because he just, like, fucking opened, like, he launches an entire attack against this fucking alien tyrant. Like drinking Coke out of the can and, like, swallowing aspirin, like, fighting in a fucking hangover.
The hangover from hell.
But the thing is, the funny thing is, like, he thought it was for, like, a video game or, like, a movie. Like, imagine if you were producing that. Like, I'm sure this shit must happen where they just show up and you get them for whatever. You get, like, the half hour they feel like being there for you. You get them in whatever shape they're in, and if they put the costume on or not. You know, he's just, like, sitting there like, all right, yep, there's the fucking bad guy. So let's just unload with both tubes on the right, both tubes on the left, and full functioning phasers, and wrap that shit up with another grenade, and we'll be out of here. And you're just like, dude, like, you saw their faces. Like, wait, really? Are we, what? Like, you're not even going to talk? We're just going to attack. We could have done this. We didn't need you. Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully I'll follow that out there. Like, everyone's like, we really
and then
need
this
to,
happened,
we
and, oh
really
God,
need to
like,
rewatch Galaxy Quest.
If you're watching the movie, it makes total sense.
Like, oh, you just turn like, oh, yeah, and then this happens, and then this happens. Yep, that was the movie.
Exactly.
Oh, Jesus.
I love the fact that a little bit of the background. I love the fact that there's this whole culture that doesn't understand lying.
Right.
Because they don't understand lying, they don't understand acting.
Yeah, it was make-believe.
They like, completely missed this concept.
Yeah, so for them, they really believe they need the leader that Tim Allen portrays on this show. It's sad to me also that, like, you look at your entire species and say, none of us are cool, right? We can't do this? None of us? All right, let's go get this other guy. Let's somehow design the technology to get the other guy. We can't do any of the rest of the shit ourselves.
Exactly. And not only are we going to have to go get another guy, we're going to get Tim Allen.
Yeah, and like we don't care that when we show up to collect him, he's like walking around with no pants on, and like bending over in front of them to find his keys and his other shoe, and he's just like, oh yeah, guess I should put on pants. Yeah.
Well, if you wanna, you know, take on the world or the galaxy in just your underwear, it's a pretty bold move. But yeah.
What's the bad guy's name? Zerg.
Saris.
Jesus, Zerg.
Saris.
Where'd I get Zerg?
That's
Zerg is the last Starfighter, right? No, it's the last StarCraft, I guess, took it from the last Starfighter. But
I'd say Zorg is, you know, Toy Story.
Have you guys?
Because you mentioned that earlier.
I know. Let's keep seeding possible movies that we might do on this podcast.
There you go.
Have you guys seen The Last Starfighter? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have.
I saw that in the theater.
Oh, fuck you, man! Wow, that's awesome.
I actually remember seeing that in the theater.
I definitely saw it on VHS as a kid, but holy crap, man! Holy crap!
Indeed.
First ever computer graphics, I feel like that and Tron are neck and neck for like the most primitive shit that I still think is cool as hell. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to watch the first Tron. Total side note there.
You still haven't? Or
I finally did. It was on the other day, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Tell me you. Oh no! Does that mean? You
am
like
I watching?
Did you not like it? Well, that's what we want you to ask on this podcast. What the fuck am I watching?
Or what the fuck am I watching? There you go.
I was just like, okay, I can see why it was very ahead of its time, but I was, just like, wow, because it's one of those that can super date itself. That's mm-hmm. all.
I also have to love, you know, where Tim Allen gets wrapped up in what amounts to like clear gelatin.
Oh my god! Yeah,
shot back to her.
That's what makes him realize it's real. He's just like, what? Because he also passed out in the limo, right? Like, because
he's
like,
he did.
He's like, wake me up when we get there. And they actually like, you know, beamed them up and shit. So he had no idea that they were actually on a. I mean, I do love, and I think that time that this movie came out, there was much more of that sense of like innocent wonder, you know, like in films. Like there was like, we don't have to really come up with a real solid explanation of how this is possible. He'll just fall asleep in the limo, and then when he wakes up, he thinks it's like a really kick-ass set. But even like as he was there, he's like, wow, man, usually it's just plywood and fucking sheets and stuff, but this is badass. You guys got like doors that open and lots of people. Wow, they like threw a lot of money at this. And then when they come back, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, so after you left, he kicked the living shit out of us. Like our ship,
you're all day.
Our ship barely got away alive. We are the only ones of our species left. Like you just basically incited a genocide. Thanks. That's not really what we hired you for. And meanwhile, he's trying to convince everybody else, oh, it's this gig that at first I was just trying to take for myself, but they need all of us. They really do. They need us all. We need you, Tony Shalhoub. We need you to join the fray. Monk, get the fuck over here.
And I love the fact that his character is stoned the entire time.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why
he was so chill.
He's able to just go along with everything, you know what I mean?
I see they're going like, maybe not the first time I watched it, but definitely the second time. I'm like, he's got to be stoned.
Yeah.
It's the only explanation.
And I think, doesn't somebody ask him if he's stoned at one point? I think Sam Rockwell later in the movie is like, dude, are you stoned? And he's just like, I just had a great idea. Come on, let me show you something. All right, dude, are you stoned? I also
like
love
Sam
Rockwell.
The
big gold medallion. God.
It's like his uniform's unzipped, so you just see like the gold change. I'm like, are you just stuck in the 70s? What the hell is this?
He's stuck in the 80s when he was a walk-on part for this cheesy sci-fi.
Who got killed in episode, 82 or 87 or 37 or one of them.
He was a red shirt.
Yeah. It's like one of the meat socks is complaining here.
Well, it's funny because he mentions that later. He's like, no, I can't go. Nobody knows my name.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Everybody get down before guy gets killed. It's so funny. Like, it is a level of meta that films were not doing at the time. You know what I mean? That they're referring to the show within the show because it's funny to the people watching the movie. You know what I mean? It's sort of like they do have to at some point get outside of, like when they're going through the tunnels later on and there's like that whole part with the mashers and she's like, what the hell is the point of this? Why did this even get in here? And then he's like, well, it was on the show, so they built it into the ship. She's like, whoever wrote this episode should die. This episode is poorly written. I refuse to do this. And it's like, you kind of have no choice. You have to.
And I love the fact that it functions as a parody, but it's a straight up movie too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Joss. It's not like a scary movie kind of thing.
Right, right. Yes. It does stand on its own. Like, it's like, I've often said, you know, this movie was definitely made for the Star Trek fan with the sense of humor about being a Trekkie. But if you've never watched Star Trek and you didn't understand that this was like an actual satire, it would hold up on its own as a standalone film that was just sort of like a really neat little sci-fi comedy.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I agree.
I almost feel like it's on the level of like movies like Evolution with David Duchovny and Orlando Jones, sort of like, well, it helps if you've watched X-Files and shit like that. But even if you haven't, you'll love this movie if you're not a cold-hearted bastard. I guess maybe I shouldn't say that because I know there are plenty of people who hated that movie who aren't cold-hearted bastards. But I enjoy the film. I enjoy me some Evolution every now and then. Especially when it's been on cable a lot and I've often been flipping around going, what am I watching? Oh, shit, Evolution. Evolution's what I'm watching. Today we're watching Galaxy Quest, as many people may feel like we keep forgetting. And if you'd like to email us and let us know, it's hollow9podcast@gmail.com, or you could join the thousands now of people who follow us on Twitter at hollow9cast. That's hollow, the word hollow, the number 9, followed by INECAST on the Twitter machine. And what else is there? There's Facebook.
There's lots of
ways to. You can also check out fangirlzone.com because we're connected over there to our affiliate, which is where Sean Van Girless is joining us from, the Fangirl Zone. It's kind of like the Phantom Zone, but full of women, and it's floating all around.
Except it's not just women. It's just like fangirl. You guys know what it is to fangirl.
You know what a fangirl is, and you know what a zone is, all right? You don't need any more explanation.
But I do have some really cool affiliate links, so check that out.
Very nice.
You can go shop. And I'm getting coupons sent to me soon to put on there, so go shop. It doesn't cost any more money. It's awesome, though. I send my husband there to shop through Amazon, so it works.
You also got to keep an eye on both Fangirl Zone and Hollow Nine on our Podomatic page because we're going to have some contests coming soon.
Yes, I'm super, super excited about that.
By the time this airs, they may have already been up. And to anyone who won, congratulations. Thanks for participating. Anyone who's still in the running, well, you know, we're all there with you. And we're just hoping it's a boy and a girl with 10 fingers and toes each. So calm it down and keep it going. You know, put on that image generator like the aliens in this movie did. Otherwise, you look like weird octopi coming in, putting all kinds of instruments in their face and holes.
And that was right after they had the Shaco bee transported to the spaceship.
And the only one who's cool with it is Tony Shalhoub. He's just like, man, that was awesome.
And he showed up after they put on the image generator. So he had no idea, like, what are you talking about, aliens? They look, they're cool.
That's why when the chick gets all down and dirty with him later, he's just like, all right, whatever. Fuck it.
That was a little bit odd.
I saw you in Harold and Kumar Leave Guantanamo. Well, no, wait, that would be years later. Never mind.
That was years later.
Harold and Kumar Guantanamo Bay. She's one of the inbred or incestuous brother-sister couple. In this movie, she's hot. You're allowed to like her in this one. She's just an alien.
She's just an alien. Yeah, there's something you're not going to hear every day.
She's just an alien. It's okay.
With tentacles. It's cool.
Not as bad as it could be on this show, apparently.
Evidently.
Yeah.
A lot of insight into Dave the Clone happening on this one. Who would have fucking thought
more,
it?
More than you might have watched.
It's just one of those nights, guys. Happy Valentine's Day. Just to give you a hint about when we're recording. It's been VNZ Day. And now it's GQ day. It's time to get on the protector and suddenly be surrounded by aliens that we thought were just eccentric teenagers and are actually real fucking aliens. And then, like, everyone's like, wait, so you're serious? They really built this? Is real? And like, yep, we're in space, bitches. This is real. This is happening.
And guess what? They want us to be the crew.
And you get to drive Have fun with that. That'd be like somebody throwing you a PlayStation controller and being like, all right, man, save our ship. And you're like, what? No, dude. On that thing, I knew where to get power-ups and health bar replenishers, and there's extra lives. Like, I always die on purpose on this run, always, because I could get an extra life. It's like, I can't do that with living people. Come on.
And but yeah, I love it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
Fight!
I love how they have little Tommy Weber. You know, he's supposed to be this kid, and then, of course, he's all grown up at this point. And I think even the aliens were surprised that he grew up.
Yeah, like they couldn't believe, like, because for years on the show, he was still a kid.
Right, and now he has to learn to fly this. And he goes back to look at the historical documents so he can figure out how he moved his
mimicking
hands.
Mimicking the arm movements. Yes. Like, I'm just going to think and do this, and hopefully what I need to happen will happen.
Well, it's funny because they've said that on interviews with people from Star Trek. It's like, well, how did you, did they tell you to, you know, turn the comm on or whatever? And they're like, oh, no, we just started hitting buttons and, you know, whatever we wanted to do.
That's fucking awesome, though. It's like, hey, so you, when you used to sit down at that giant touchscreen, did they tell you how to, no, if you fucking say do this, they'd be like, okay, click, 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 click. That's how you know I was good because I did that thing at the end. I was the best fucking navigator they had.
Much. Yeah. Yeah. I just love the fact that, you know, they picked the pilot to be like the Wesley Crusher type.
Yeah. Oh my right. God. Yeah. We
it's
should.
Like, let's see how much we can make you hate this character to start out with.
Oh.
Oh wow. Wesley Crusher was hated.
Oh, Wesley.
Is that true? I didn't know he was like a hated character.
Yeah, he was.
Oh.
Although he was like the same age as me, so I was like, I loved him.
Is that what, like Sheldon on The Big Bang Theory having an arch rival with Will Wheaton? Is that kind of making fun of the fact that he was like a hated character on Next Generation?
It's a little bit of that. I think it's also just making fun of the fact that Will Wheaton is actually a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And that making him out to be an asshole is
Wheaton!
It's like having Neil Patrick Harris be a womanizing asshole.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Harold and Kumar. Shit. Well, that is hilarious, and I think that's funny. We'll have to call out all the analogs that we think of as we think of them during the course of the show. Because I think it's a little bit of a cross of all the Star Treks, right? Like, we've got some Next Generation going on. We've got some classic. Like, he is clearly Shatner. But I think, like, Dr. What the hell is his name? Dr. Lazarus is kind of like Mr. Worf meets Geordi LaForge a little. I don't know.
Some Spock thrown in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was more Spock-esque.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's some Spock.
Spock there.
Probably with the Mokhtar stealth haze and the Mokhtar chant of strength and all kinds of shit that this other guy... I mean, I feel like this movie, if anything, is a giant tribute to the idea of mind over matter. Like, there is a alien somewhere that literally made fake bullshit from a TV show work. Like, it made him invisible to bad guys that were looking for him because he believed in the Mokhtar stealth haze. You know what I mean? So something that some PA probably came up with one day on set actually was brought into... It was like this guy used the fucking lantern core power and made it become real. You know
okay,
what I mean?
I just have to share with everybody the Mokhtar stealth haze. Dave is doing the hand thing. As we're speaking, you can't see it, but he's doing the hand movement. So obviously, somebody else is completely in agreement with how to do this.
Oh, shit.
These are not the droids you're looking for. It's all the same thing.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Oh.
That's good.
You didn't even realize you
Holy
were doing it, did you?
Shit, no, not at all. It's like actually so self-like subconscious. Because it's because the guy does it. He goes, I use your Mokhtar stuff. shit, holodinepodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, no,
oh shit. Hashtag Mokhtar. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Hashtag Mokhtar. Good luck. It's like, oh, God. Have you ever watched, keeping everything Star Trek, have you guys ever watched, what the hell is that, Aqua Teen Hunger Force? That cartoon on Cartoon Network? There's an episode where the Fries, named Frylock, created like this ultimate gaming console, and he called it the Uchtach Mikhtar, which is a Klingon word for some shit, I don't know. And it's just all par for the course. So if you could figure out how to spell Mokhtar, that's what we want you to hashtag your emails about this show to holonine podcast@gmail.com. Hashtag Mokhtar. Good luck. Good luck. That's part of the contest. Maybe that's a contest to win something. Who knows?
Figure out how to spell these random things that we
And we'll just, and we're not even going to consult. We're just going to pick. Yep, that one looks like the right one. We think that's correct.
That's right.
That's Mokhtar. Come on. How could it be anything else?
That's a Mokhtar if I ever saw one.
Oh, jeez. I also, like, one of the things that movies like this, I feel like, are the random things that make me suddenly feel like, man, I've been a dick for making fun of weak people at times. But, like, watching this alien race when they are, like, are trying to, like, seriously explain to the cast of Galaxy Quest how dire their situation is, like how serious, and they're just like, oh yeah man, you guys really found a way to make burgers perfect on this ship. Like they, like all of them had the like the food that their character on the show loved.
Dr. Lazarus.
And Lazarus had like a bowl of like living fucking creatures. They're like, hey, are you enjoying your ugnok blah blah blahs? And he's like, yeah, just like
as
mom used
leaping
to make.
Off the spoon.
And he's just like, guess that life sucks for me here. But like they're all like so innocent, going like, this guy is going to kill all of us, and they're just like, really, like this is some serious shit, dude. You got us into something really bad here, Tim Allen. These fucking people are being slaughtered and we're just showing up like, oh yeah, hey,
we but no, enjoy your steak.
We used to play these characters on TV, so we shall help you figure all this out. Like, oh my god. It's just the idea that there is actually the level of naivete and innocence. Something about that, whenever I watch movies like this, always just like, ugh, like it gets me a little bit more than it probably should. Like everyone else is watching these just laughing, and I'm going like, man, those fucking guys are so fucking pathetic, man. Like it's just so tough. Like I feel
it's
horrible.
Like people in horror movies, when you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
that is
yeah.
The stupidest thing to do. Why? Why? Mm-hmm.
Don't you know you're in a horror movie?
Calm the fuck on, dude. Guy even knows he's got to be worried every fucking minute in this movie because every second, Guy could die. Guy's like, I'm that dude. I'm the one who's going to get killed to make a scene more emotionally impactful. That's what I'm here for. Here's a head on a stick. Meanwhile, the other guy's like, yeah, this is the last spy we caught. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. Oh, that was the guy who didn't get the shields up in time. When they go to talk to, when finally they realize the stakes of the game and Tim Allen is actually conversing with him, he goes, this was my master at arms who didn't get the shields up in time the last time we spoke. And it's just like the guy's head on a stick. It's like, yeah, the aliens are not fucking around in this movie, dude. Except
nope.
For the weak ass
ones. Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, except for the weak-ass ones who are able to create your technology.
I was going to say, even the little ones that they meet for the first time.
Oh, like, the miners? Oh,
they're so childlike.
Like, miners, you idiot, not miners.
Is like, that they then devour their own.
Yeah, it's
the
like,
weak.
Oh, how sweet. Ah! Ah!
Quick, let's get out of here before one of those things eats Guy.
I love that that was like the running joke. I kind of felt bad for his character, but at the same time,
it was also though before Sam Rockwell was Sam Rockwell, so it was like for him it was like this really awesome like moment to shine when he had his little breakdowns. You know, he's like, it's like, did you just say episode 81? We can't do episode 81 because I die in episode 81. Like, it's like he's so hypersensitive. Oh god. Guys, the little thingy, there's a red thingy coming from the big thingy towards our thingy. I think we're the little thingy and the red thingy's coming towards our thingy. Ah, god. Oh, Jesus. This movie's great. But if you can't tell already, guys, listening to this, please, this fucking movie's great. Go watch this movie.
This definitely is one of those where we thoroughly enjoy this movie and recommend you watch it. Unlike some of the other things, we go, what are we watching? Don't watch it! Don't! Yeah.
Just so that we're not the only ones who have gone through it. We're strictly, like, you know, not apologists. We're just, like, we're people who want the sympathetic pain. No, knowing that other people experience the pain we experienced. Like, we're going to watch Saturday the 14th Strikes Back, I'm sure, at some point, and be like, oh my god, who wasted the fucking film making this shit? You know what I mean? But for now, we're watching Galaxy Quest going, like, seriously, how the fuck are there people who haven't seen this movie? I don't understand. I don't get how this happens.
I don't understand.
I don't get how it happens, man. Jesus.
I can't believe that there are actually people out there who haven't seen this. I mean, it's on enough. It's on TV.
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things that if you never, like, if you weren't part of the phenomenon of when it was out, like, if you weren't, like, there's an awareness level, I think, of certain movies. Like, have you ever seen the movie What Planet Are You From? With Gary Shandling?
I've never even heard of that.
Future episode of What Am I Watching? But, it was out around the same time as this. Kind of like, I guess, there was, like, just a class of, like, sci-fi comedies that just flew under the radar for, like, a year or two around 99, 2000, 2001. And then 2001, you know, the whole world changed, so it's like everything has been different since. So there was a certain level of, like, still kind of innocent but kind of smart comedies out there. I feel like this is what Mars Attacks kind of wanted to be as well. You know, like, I feel like there's movies like that that, like, tried to get to this level, and it was just the cleverness didn't pan out. Who the hell wrote this? Let's find out.
See, I mean, I think one of the reasons why this movie works so well is that it's a parody, but it's not sarcastic about it.
Yeah.
It's not just trying to play up the irony level. It's having some fun with the classic tropes. And it's poking fun, but it's also playing them straight in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah.
It's not like they're trying to point out every single thing that was, you know, going on in regards to cons or, you know, science fiction shows, and to show you, okay, we're going to take everything that they did and over-exaggerate it. It was just actual movie with some of that thrown in.
Yeah, I almost, like, I'm actually struggling at finding the right analogy to use for what kind of movie. It's like, it's not parody, it's almost like homage, really, if you think about it. In a way, it's like, it's almost like perfect homage, because it doesn't ever even mention the source material, but it's so, like, in its visual presentation and in the structure of the story, it's very much like a procedural space sitcom action drama, you know, which is obviously Star Trek, and visually looks like Star Trek, but at the same time, it's, like, playing on the idea of, like, this is, like, Gene Roddenberry's buddy, Cliff, who kind of came up with something similar and had the meeting after Gene Roddenberry's at the network. And they're like, yo, dude, this is great, but it's kind of too close to this thing we just greenlit 5 minutes ago called Star Trek. So good work, man. Come up with another one, you know? And then Star Wars comes in and you're like, motherfuck! How did I miss that? You know? Anyway. But yeah, it's kind of like it sits in this gray area of, it's not like you said, like, not a scary movie level parody. It definitely, and it could, like, completely stand on its own. But if you know all of it, if you know Star Trek and you can look at it as its own thing, it's sort of like this great bonus for someone who's got all the wherewithal to really appreciate it.
I think.
Nope. Let's amend that.
Deep, man.
That's just my opinion, though. Everyone else could have one of their own, I guess.
David Howard, who wrote this, is his only film credit.
Really?
Like, ever?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And Robert Gordon. What did he do? Because he's the other screenwriter listed. He, though, worked on Men in Black 2, Addicted to Love, Lemony Snicket's Series of Unfortunate Events. He also produced Galaxy Quest and this horrid, should have been aborted film called Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. Did anybody see that piece of shit? Because we may do an episode about it now that I've given it such a glowing review.
See, I did not hate that movie.
Oh, God, dude. I saw it once, I think it gave me a stomach virus.
Oh.
Like, I didn't go to work for a week after that because I couldn't keep solid food in my body. And I strictly blame the fact that I drank my face off the night before I saw it and the fact that I saw Captain, whatever it was, Sky Captain.
Sky Captain.
World of Tomorrow. Captain Ridiculous. Sky Captain. It's no Winter Soldier, man, I'll tell you that. Winter Soldier is certainly true, isn't it? So what else happens? As this movie goes on, these actors actually grow into the roles that they had been playing all this time. Each one of them, I think, is it because of the childlike innocence of these Thermians that are the aliens that have hired them to save everybody? Because, I mean, at some point it does come out. The truth does come out that this was all fake. Like, they kind of tell the Thermians, like, yeah, this was all...
We're actors!
Yeah. Oh, my God. Didn't he say, like, well, I mean, you guys don't really believe that old Yeller died at the end of that movie. They're like, oh, that poor... Oh, no. Gilligan's Island? There's something, like, I literally just saw that scene when he's like, you guys don't think that Gilligan's Island was real. They're like, oh, those poor people.
It's supposed to be a three-hour tour.
A three-hour tour? A three-hour tour? I know! It's like the guy can make a radio out of coconuts, but he can't fix a hole in the bottom of the damn boat!
Oh, my God.
There was this Saturday Night Live Jeopardy where, like, everybody on – all the contestants were, like, Seinfelds.
They all had
to speak and deliver their answers like Seinfeld. And it's like we take the professor for 800, and the clue is, I mean, come on. And the guy goes, I know. He can make a radio out of coconuts, but he can't fix a hole in the bottom of the damn boat. I'm sure maybe one person out there got that. Because one person's like, yo, this Dave the Clone, man, he's watched a lot of TV in the last 20, 30 years. Man, this is fucking insane. I'm hearing shit I never thought another human being would have not only experienced, but let alone remembered. And meanwhile, they're supposed to be talking about Galaxy Quest. Oh, my God. Oh, my guys down here said that we can't keep flying at warp 10. The engine's not going to take it. There's a crack in the beryllium sphere. So just thought I'd let you guys know. I love Tony Shalhoub in this movie. It's amazing.
We probably need another one.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Or he's like, guys, I think they said they found one on a planet nearby. We should probably just go and pick that one up. And he's like, yeah, all right, cool. It turns out, yeah, you guys were right again. That's just, come here, group hug. Like, the engineering probably had the best experience with the humans ever. They're like, we got this guy. He was telling us how awesome we are, you know.
He knows what the fuck he's doing.
He's positive reinforcement all the way, hugging us and shit. Man, we were sad to see him go. We sent one of our women with him. We said, fucking take this, bitch. You need this. You deserve this.
Come back and visit anytime.
Your money's no good here, Chief. Your drinks are on the house. Oh, shit, yeah. At this point, I almost feel like it's like, do we want to just recap the jokes that they tell? I mean, there's a great transporter joke when he's fighting the giant rock monster. And they're like, well, we'll test the transporter because we haven't successfully tested it yet. And it's like, we'll beam up the pig lizard that you're fighting. And it's like, what happened? Well, it got here. And then the other guy's like, and then it exploded.
It was inside out.
That felt very... Oh, was it airplane-esque? He's like,
it was also, I think...
And he's getting larger.
Was it also direct reference to... Wasn't it the first Star Trek The Motion Picture when they're like... The first time they try to transport somebody with the transporters after they've been brought online and it's like... It doesn't work. Like, they kind of partially get the people and then they... Is this a deleted scene that maybe it was only in... I know there's a couple different versions of the first Star Trek movie, of Star Trek The Motion Picture. There's, like, the international version, and there's the theatrical version, and then there's this version that, like, ABC edited themselves, the one time they showed it, that had all this, like, extra stuff. And there was this sequence where, like, they were trying to transport somebody up to the ship, and, like, it was, like, they were partially there, and, like, Scotty's trying to get it to work, and they're not, like, locking in, and then all of a sudden the person just starts screaming, like, in, like, still, like, mid transported, and then they disappear, and Kirk goes, like, Starfleet, do you have them? And the people on the other line go, what we got back didn't live very long. You know, you're just like, oh my God, fuck.
I do not remember that at all.
Dude, so. This is like, I mean, I just remember how, because of, like, for some reason as a little kid, not always 100% understanding the context of what was happening in movies, that scene hit me hard. It was just like, it was from the way the person screamed and then just the voice on the other end of the radio going, what we got back didn't live very long. You're just like, oh. So I always took this sequence, the long roundabout way of getting back to Galaxy Quest here, took this sequence where they beam up the thing and it turns inside out, to be a little bit of like a callback to that, or almost like a direct reference to, like, yeah, man, these transporters, they technically should work. Theoretically, they're there. We're just,
we want to let you know what the stakes are.
Like, hey, man, in The Fly, remember when that monkey came through Inside Out? That shit should have worked. There was no reason that should have happened. So I'm just saying, we're on the same level here, okay? This is attempt one. Here we go. Meanwhile, then you got the J.J. Abrams one where he's, like, beaming people mid-fall out of the fucking sky and shit.
Oh, but not everybody lives.
True.
That is fair.
All right. So what are we missing? Well, I mean, eventually the one thing that I think is like a complete service to people who go to cons and people who are like the hardcore fans is the fact that these kids who run into them in the beginning of the movie and are like the super dedicated fans that Tim Allen kind of like, I guess, kind of brushes off, like, rather we did kind of gloss over the fact that at one point he's in the men's room and he hears people like making fun of how, like, look at how fucking pathetic that Taggart, that Jason Nesbitt guy is. Like, he thinks this show actually matters, that people give a fuck that he was in Galaxy Quest, and that, like, totally just bruised his ego so badly that he turns into a complete D-bag for the rest of that day at the con. It was a bad Friday at the con. Fucking Taggart went berserk and started yelling at the fans. We all fucking went home. It was shit.
And then he went home. Then he went home and got drunk.
Yeah.
I was actually reading the trivia on this, and they said that that was in there because Shatner actually had that happen to him at a Star Trek convention in '66.
Where he freaked out on people?
That he overheard people saying that basically he, you know, was nobody, and the cast doesn't like him.
Damn! Wow, that's fucked up.
I'm like, that's pretty messed up.
See, I remember like there was a Saturday Night Live that Shatner hosted where he actually, in the middle of like kind of giving a speech at one of these conventions, like, goes, because they were asking, you know, the people were asking the very specific, like, in episode 82 when this happened, what were you thinking? And he's just like, guys, it's a TV show. I mean, you gotta, like, go outside. And, like, have you ever gone on a date with a woman? Have you ever had sex? You know, and, like, and he, like, goes on this whole thing. He's like, for God's sake, guys, you gotta get out of here. And Phil Hartman is the convention director. And he, like, comes up to him and he pulls him off to the side. And you don't hear what they're saying, but you hear the good old-fashioned, like, Phil Hartman, like, and then finally Shatner. Jesus Christ, what's his name? Shatner turns around and he goes, that was a live reenactment of the evil Kirk from episode 67, Enemy Within. I just wanted to say thank you all for showing up, and keep your phaser set on stun, and I'll be at the table signing autographs in 15 minutes. And it was a nice little Saturday Night Live convention mockery moment that I feel like maybe this movie took a little bit from that as well, to have the whole dynamic. I mean, it really is all about Tim Allen, right? Like, as much as his character believes, is then what the rest of the team starts to believe. So once he starts to be a good leader, they all follow and become a good team. It's kind of, I guess, the overarching morality play we're watching here. But yeah, there's a lot of those elements going on. There are a lot of dynamics at play here that I think if you're just watching it on the surface as a comedy, you might miss. I don't know. or I can just talk for a long time about this movie.
Wow.
About certain
again, that
little
went way
elements.
Deeper than I thought.
Everyone's like, look, dude, we just watched Walking Dead. I really can't think about this. I don't know why the fuck we're even doing this tonight. Like, if you're watching at home, if you happen to be watching the movie while we were doing this, we're only about halfway through the movie. But there's not much to talk about. Like, once it's established, it kind of just becomes like a predictable, you know, procedural type thing. I think it's the in-jokes that really make it, and the fact that even if you don't get them, you still would enjoy the movie.
But I like the fact that they bring in, like, the super fans. You know, that they have to use these kids.
We need to figure out how to fix the ship. Come on. You guys have the diagrams? Tell us what to do.
Right. Well, I've got levels 1 through 29, but Westfield's got the rest of them. We'll get him online. We'll get everybody online right now. It was, like, the first time they ever had Skype, really. Like, they were all FaceTiming going, like, wow, this shit's real. Like, the best is at first he's like, hey, kid, this is the, you know, Captain, this is Commander Taggart. We accidentally traded little devices at the convention. And he goes, listen, man, I want you to know, I understand it's just a TV show, but I just really love the show. And he's like, you know, so don't think I'm crazy. And he's like, don't worry, Brendan, everything's real. I knew it was real. Like, yeah, it definitely was every fanboy's, like, wet dream come true moment in this movie. And so I think there was a little bit of that going on too, like a fan service type situation. Mm-hmm. So this is the movie that champions that. You know, like how, you know, every year, like when people are graduating high school, usually there's like a high school graduation movie that comes out. So you sort of say, all right, that was my class's movie because that came out. So like for me, it was Can't Hardly Wait came out the year that we graduated.
You know,
that
sorry.
The next year would have been fucking The Faculty and I would have taken that in a heartbeat, but no. So
what the hell came out the year I graduated? Oh, we're not talking about that though.
No, it's a Google machine or
high school movie 1990.
Yeah.
Dazed and Confused, what?
I'd be cool with that one. I'm what not a pothead, but I still be cool with that.
There's still time. It's never too late to start. Oh man.
Let's see, I could go with High School High.
Oh, shit. Wow. Oh, or what about Rock and Roll High School Forever?
I would much rather go with Rock and Roll High School.
Rock and Roll High School Forever.
The Ramones?
Yes. Though that was before my...
That was like way back, though, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, then there was the Corey 80s. Feldman one, too. That I think was like a sequel or a down the road.
There was a Rock and Roll High School 2, yes.
Yeah.
No, original Rock and Roll High School was 79.
There you go. That was my birth year, motherfuckers.
With the PG Knowles.
20 years before Galaxy Quest came out, the movie that we're podcasting about right now. But we've already kind of talked about all the important shit. You know, there's airlocking, there's monsters, there's turning the tides of war, there's finding heroism where there was once cowardice, there's...
And there's not even Chekhov's gun in this. There's Chekhov's rock monster.
Yes, there's Chekhov's everything. Chekhov's doomsday device. Chekhov's Mokhtar stealth haze. Oh, dear Lord.
The rock monster, again, an homage to Star Trek, because I guess in the one movie, I'm trying to find where it was again, Shatner wanted a rock monster.
What?
And it had to be... like put down because of cost.
Which movie?
Oh yeah, in the Final Frontier, in the climax, and they had to cut it out because of budgetary reasons.
The Final Frontier, is that the one where they found Spock's half brother, and he wanted to take?
You're asking like really hard questions for me.
Jeez, man, that was the one where Uhura does the naked dance in the desert, and we see it in silhouette.
Oh, was that 5?
Oh yeah, the one where Uhura gets finally naked.
With
of course,
the feather. You know what? I'm sorry, because I thought that was kick-ass because she wasn't helpless and she was distracting the world.
That was fucking badass. I remember being like, "What the hell's going on in this movie?" Like in the theater, sitting there going, "Like there's tits. Like that's nakedness. Like I'm finding Uhura hot all of a sudden."
Okay. Moving past the nakedness.
Wait, what?
Nakedness. Again.
Oh, we know where Dave's priorities are.
Yeah.
Always. Always. And it's not just because I was at Mardi Gras.
When Taggart loses his shirt again, the way Kirk always lost his shirt. in like every fight scene ever.
And Lazarus and Burstyn managed to get your shirt off, I see.
I was just going to mention it. I'm sorry. Alan Rickman, because he was just so level with the way he delivered everything in this movie. Even when like the whole world was going to shit and his head prosthetic is like,
oh my God, off. Like half ripped open. You see his hair coming through it.
But I love the fact that, you know, there's like, I was a classically trained actor when Alan Rickman was in fact a classically trained actor.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if he just kind of threw that in.
Like an improv, like an improv line.
Or if he was deliberately cast that, like, who could we cast that would put off a classically trained actor in a sci-fi movie?
It's him or Gary Oldman, man. I mean, really, like, think about it. This is 2 years after, what's it called? Or actually, no, it's like 1 year after fucking Fifth Element with Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. So you're on the level where you can have these like, and that's the other thing. When you take a classically trained actor and you put him in a part like this, you get something like that. You get Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg, or you get Dr. Lazarus played by Dale Alexander played by Alan Rickman.
I just love that there's levels of that. I'm sorry. I can't get past that.
Because it's duller, you twit. It'll hurt more.
I say that line all the time.
Because it's duller, you twit. It'll hurt more. Why a spoon, cousin?
He was the single best thing in that movie.
Oh, my God. You sure? You saw Hood's body?
Because there wasn't a lot to love otherwise.
Yeah, it was a rough one. It was a rough one. It wasn't like Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest is just a treat. It's just a delight from beginning to end. Did you see that? The door stuck a little bit. I'll get my guys to come up here and put some WD-40 on that. Like Tony Shalhoub fully adopts his place on that fucking crew on that ship. He's just like, yeah, I could stay here forever.
It's like, okay, engineering, yeah, I got this.
Guys, they're telling me down here that the ship can't handle this for much longer. Yeah, we're going to die. Gonna have to stop. Oh, man, Galaxy Quest, what a great fucking movie.
It's like, I don't even know what else to say this movie.
It's kind of like, you know, we could, you know, just talk about minute by minute, but it's really at that point, you kind of know what the ending is going to be. You know the good guys are going to win. You know all kinds of cool shit's going to happen. It just was just a well done. It's better than I expected it to be. Even I remember feeling like that when I rented it to finally see the rest of it. You know what I mean? Like when I caught part of it and was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to rent this tomorrow. And watch the whole thing. And you're just like, damn, this is great. And it has so many aspects of sci-fi that haven't gone away and in fact have become like the kind of head-scratching aspects of sci-fi that you see on shows like Fringe, like ideas of time travel and dimensional, you know, reorganizing of molecules and meta, you know, taking something that was a TV show, making it reality, and then dealing with that implication. Such a, you know, if you really wanted to make it a thinking person's movie, it is, or if you just want to watch it and have fun, it's that too. So
absolutely.
A little bit of something for everyone. I made sure this was definitely on the must-buy list for my dad for one of the holidays because he was such a Trekkie. And it was one of the ones I know he actually watched because he was like, dude, that movie was funny. And I was like, oh, thanks. Not that my dad used the word dude often, but every once in a while it dropped into conversation.
Well, I think it's really important to know that it's still something that people do watch and enjoy because I still actually see people when I go to conventions cosplaying characters from Galaxy Quest. It always takes a minute because I'm like, wait, you're like, did I just see? And you have to stop and go back and you're like, I need a picture.
Yeah. Perhaps and I've seen I'm not some as dressed stupid as I am ugly.
I haven't seen Saris.
That would be
what are
badass.
They called? Therians?
Thermians. He was calling them termites at the beginning. He's like, the termites or some shit.
It's the Spermians.
But I seen somebody dressed in like the human form, and then they had like the thing to go over to look like octopus.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So it was really cool. yeah, I love the fact that that's out there and it's, you know, something that's still in the culture.
Mm.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
Soft spot for awesome.
I think it's it's a nice crossover one. Like, again, it's like if you weren't part of the Star Trek Trekkie culture, you could still watch this and think it's a fucking hilarious movie. Mm-hmm. And I think there need to be more movies like that, because I think that would, not that sci-fi needs help these days, but I think there was a time that it did. You know,
I think it still needs the help every now and again to kind of poke fun at itself. And be able to look at yourself and go, yeah, this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
It still needs that.
So ridiculous, we're going to go with it and take it as serious as possible and see what it does.
Exactly.
It's like, historical documents, a ship that big. Show him the historical documents. Oh, God. So good. All right. Well, I think we were pretty much doing this movie to death. Unless we could talk about Sigourney Weaver's boobs, if anybody's interested. I'm at Dave the Clone on Twitter, at Dave the Clone. It's Clone with a K.
He will talk to you in length.
I want to talk to Sigourney Weaver about her boobs. Be like, yo, thank you. Just seriously, thank you. I thank models. I thank hot women who take pictures of themselves and put them out there for the world. Fucking awesome. Thank you so much. People like me need this. We need it. So thank you so much. So yes, Sigourney Weaver, thank you. Not so much for Avatar, but perfectly for this. Thank you so much.
I enjoy the fact that at the very end, when they show up trailing the mines.
Oh my God.
Tech ship.
And you don't realize.
And a few years later, I saw Serenity in theaters. Uh-huh. When Firefly shows up with the Reavers trailing behind, I was like, yes. I've seen this before.
Yep. Little homage continues. Oh, Serenity?
Yes.
Nice. I always love the death dance that she does at the end when she's kicking the shit out of all the Reavers. I'm like, this thing could have been 10 minutes of this. That would have been the whole movie. I would have been happy, but yeah. All right. Well, this has been another What Am I Watching in the Books here. Our third episode, or no, not our third, fuck.
This is number seven.
Yeah.
But it's like, I guess it'll be in the third wave of batches that we recorded, which is why my mind is not working. We do record these way in advance, but we do it to give you a chance to watch the movie so that you can feel like you're in the know and not sitting there like the whole time going, all right, we just totally fucking lost on the, there's a convention in the beginning and then there's a spaceship and there's actors on the spaceship. That's what we know about this movie.
And then you got some aliens
and
then you got the guy
mines,
fly,
octopus, and there's boobs and there's
the Mokhtar haze. What the hell?
And Dave always does the hand movement when he says
Mokhtar. Like, I didn't see you do it, Gomez.
I'm not Dave.
Mokhtar stealth haze. And you don't realize that my ship is dragging mines. And you don't realize that this podcast is dragging a network that is the Holonine Network. You can find us at Podomatic, holonine.podomatic.com. Hollow is the word hollow, the number 9, followed by I-N-E. And you can find us on iTunes. Please rate and review us there. It helps us gain visibility and keep expanding our presence and reach and giving us the ability to bring you guys more awesome original content. I hope you're checking out all the cool stuff coming out from the network right now, like American Crime, all the programming from the Fangirl Zone. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, Sean. And some new stuff still on the way, like we're going to have our X-Files show starting up soon, as well as a recap and response to The Affair. So keep your eyes and ears peeled and glued to the feeds. Thank you for being part of the fun so far. I am Dave the Clone.
I am Gomez, not Adams.
I'm Sean Fangirl-S.
And you don't realize that this show has just come to an end. See Galaxy Quest. You've been listening to the Holonine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Holo9Cast. That's Holo, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at Holo9Podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, Holo9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, FangirlZone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. join in the fun. Hollow Knight.
Hello.
Automatically level.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
So you gotta open up the convo. Everybody has updated, shit.
Updated what?
Okay, we're gonna try something, Gomez.
Okay.
I've been using Zencastr, so you guys gotta click on that. And then it would let you... Did I even put on my video? Probably no. Because I'm looking super hot, and I got to tell you guys, you know, don't get too excited now. So, I know you guys all want to have, you guys all want to have a relationship like Jason and I. This hot, you know, glasses, sweatpants thing going. And that I was watching Far From the Madding Crowd when he got up for work. And the guy was swimming. He's like, I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna die. And all of a sudden Jason goes, shark bait. And at the same time we go, ooh.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just
what?
Letting you know.
Have
that
you ever
I'm...
seen Nemo? Finding
oh,
Nemo?
Oh yeah, finding
shark
Nemo.
Bait.
Yes, gotcha.
So, you know. I made him bacon. I wore sweatpants today. So, you know, there we
is
go.
Is this that's... a Valentine's Day thing you're talking about or something?
Yeah, apparently this is like, hot, like
what
how
the hell
hot
is
I am
happening?
For Valentine's Day.
It's like, what the fuck is going on?
I really make myself up.
Totally lost on what the hell we're even talking about.